Blog Talk Radio.
Bless the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. He's worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Shout glory. But we're here to magnify the Lord, to make him bigger, make him larger than anything that's going on. He is worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Let's put your hands together. Hallelujah. Yes. Oh, yeah. Come on, sing.
Oh,
Preacher of the Hour, Dr. Mary Smith McCoy. And we're here
to preach the unadulterated, uncompromising word of God. Yes, to God be the glory for the great and for the mighty things that he has done. We are coming live from the bold and beautiful city of Jacksonville, Florida, where God get all the glory, where he will always get all the praise, where he will always get all of the glory. And we want you to know that God is in this place. God is here even right now. And wherever you may be riding down the highway, you may be in a classroom waiting for your student, you may be on an air flight, an airplane, entree, but I want you to know that you have to have that blessed assurance that God is here, God cares about you, that God will never leave you, and that he will never forsake you. We have some encouraging words from the Lord God Almighty today, and we're going to be coming from St. John, the 15th chapter. And the word of God says to his people today, he said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. And I want you to know today that we must abide in the vine. We must abide in the vine that we can bring forth more fruit. I want you to know that we are the branches, and our Father is taking care of us. And I want you to know that he even purges us that we can bring forth more fruit. I don't know what you're going through today, but I want to know, and I don't even know what the struggle that you may be encountering today, but I do want you to know that if you abide in the vine, if you just stay in the presence of the Lord, if you just wait on the Lord, I believe the word of God says, wait on the Lord and the B&B of good courage. Somebody needs to be encouraged today. Somebody needs to know that God, he cares. No matter what the situation is, no matter what the problem is, be it on your job, wherever it may be, God is still in control. And he wants you to know that all you need to do is to abide in him. He wants you to stay in him. He wants you to be encouraged, to stay placed in him. To even though you may be going through some struggles in your life, that all you need to do is to endure without yielding, without giving up. Because if you can endure, as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, sometimes we're going to go through struggle. Sometimes we're going to go through things in our life. But we need to know that God is on our side. We need to know that we're not going through the trials and tribulations by ourselves. But if we can remain in him, if we can just wait on him, and if we can just be patient, See, the Bible let us know, even though we go through some things, even we may cry sometimes and shed some tears, but the Lord let us know that we've been endured for a night, but joy will come in the morning. I don't know when your morning is, but God will bring some sunshine. God will bring a joy in the morning if you just trust him, if you just endure. The word of God tell us to endure. The word of God tell us to wait on him. And it tells us to be patient. All we need to do is to be patient and and wait on him and abide in the vine. We have to abide in him. He's not telling us to abide or have confidence in man, because the word of God tells us to put our confidence in no man, put our trust in God. We can thank God that our confidence and our faith is in the Almighty God. You may say, Dr. McCoy, what is faith? The word of God says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Yes, you're going through some things this morning. Yes, you don't know maybe where that next $100 or $50 may be coming from, or it may be a mortgage bill, maybe a car payment. I don't know what it is that you may be going through, but I want you to know that God wants you to wait on him and to have patience in him. For the word of God says that now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You may not see it. You may can't touch it. But yet you have to have that faith in God to believe that he will bring you out with a strong hand and with a stretched out arm. You have to know that he will not leave you, and neither will he forsake you. Somebody may see this morning that it seems like they have been forsaken. I know many times when we talk about the word of God, when we have seen David, when he's gone through many things in his life, and it seems like sometimes he was alone. But yet he had to know, and he realized that he wasn't in this by himself. Yes, even sometimes David, he did things that was not according to God's word. Sometimes he went out there and left field, but yet God, he had a heart that belonged unto God, because the word let us know that David was a man after God's own heart. So when we, even though we miss the mark, even though we get in things or do things that may not be according to God's word, then we still have to have that blessed assurance that God, he is God. He is God all by himself. And when you have read the word of God, and it lets us know that he would never leave us, and neither will he forsake us. So when we can know that, when God won't forsake us, when he won't abandon us, when he won't lead us astray, we have to have that confidence in God that everything will work out fine. But what is the word saying to you? What is the word saying to you this morning? To abide in the vine. Abide in the vine. Because it let us know that the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. We're just like branches. And we cannot bring forth fruit unless we abide in the vine. We have to abide in the vine by, as we said before, being patient, just waiting on the Lord. Just being able to endure without yielding. It let us know that if we do these things, that God will come to our rescue. Don't you need to be rescued this morning? Don't you need God to move on your behalf? Don't you need God to fight every battle for you? Remembering that the battle does not belong to you, but the battle belongs to God, and God is well able to fight every battle. When we abide in God, we have to tolerate some things that we go through in life that we have to tolerate, and we don't have to fight the battle, because the battle does not belong to us. We have to tolerate it with God on our side. We have to tolerate it knowing that God is in control. We have to tolerate it knowing that God will bring us out with a strong hand and with a stretched out arm. Sometimes we are going through things, and it's in our strive for excellency in Christ that sometimes it seems like it's very difficult to tolerate the situation that is at hand. But God could give us that tolerance that we need. The Bible says, to ask and it shall be given. He said, to seek and ye shall find. He said, to knock and the door shall be open. He said, if we have the faith of a grain of mustard seed and say to the mountain, be thou moved, the word of God say it shall be moved. But what we have to do this day is to abide in the vine. Don't move, don't stray away, but stay in the vine. Abide in him. We are the branches. He is the vine. So if we're going to be able to tolerate situations in our life, whatever situation it may be more than one, it may be several things that you may be going through today, but yet you have to rest and have that confidence in God. And God wants us, when we speak of abide, it also means for us to stand fast. And that is one of the things that as believers in Christ, and even if you're not a believer, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you need to ask him to come into your life, that you can be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the works of the Lord, knowing that your labor will not be in vain. See, when we are not steadfast, that means that we're not patient, and we're not really anchored, and we're not grounded, and we don't have that sure foundation. And we don't have the faith to believe God that he's going to move on our behalf. See, when we're not steadfast, then we're liable to do anything. When we're not steadfast, it makes us like we're not in our heart, that we're not really overcome, that we have been defeated by the enemy. But yet, when we can be steadfast in God, when we can rest in him, and I'm saying to be steadfast, yes, in the Jehovah Jireh, who is our provider. Yes, be steadfast in him, one that is able to provide, one that is able to heal our bodies, because he is Jehovah Raphia. He is the one that healeth. He is the one that delivereth. He is the one that can make free. So therefore, we have to stand fast in him. We have to know that he is our God. We have to know that he will not leave us. He will not forsake us. When we have that confidence in him, we can rest assured. We can walk with ease. We can walk with confidence, knowing that our God, he is a deliverer, knowing that he is there for us. So I am asking all of you in radio land to just stand fast in God. Stand fast and believe God. No matter what you may be going through, no matter how it seems like there is no end to what you may be going through, it may be before that we said it could be a money issue, it could be the husband, it could be that wife, it could be those children, it could be that job, whatever it may be. It be maybe that someone is coming up against you, but you have to stand fast in God. For the word of God said, to fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thy envious against the workers of iniquity, for that soon shall be cut down as the grass, withered as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. And that is what God wants us to do, is to trust in him and to do good. How many of you today that could say, I am going to trust in the Lord and I am going to do good? How many of you can say this morning that I'm going to stand fast in Jesus Christ, that I'm not going to be moved by what I'm going through, but I'm going to wait on the Lord, and I am going to be of good courage. Yes, we must stand fast. We must stand fast, and we must remain. We must remain in him. Stay in him. Don't be moved. by what you see. Don't be moved by what you feel. Don't be moved by the ways or the ignorance of the things that the enemy is trying to bring against you. Oh, my goodness. We have to remain faithful to God. Remain knowing that he will not forsake us. He will not leave us. So if we can just take and be, we can take what we've already said this morning from the Most High God. And I believe that the Lord is speaking to many of you out there today to let you know that we need to remain in him. Don't get side swapped. Don't let the enemy come and cause you to be a jar, to be, cause you to move out of your place in God. Don't let the enemy cause you to get out of that relationship with the Most High God. If we can just stand fast, and the Word of God let us know how we can stand fast, that we can just stay in God, and if we just began to get closer to him. And you say, well, how can I get closer to God? All we need to do is to pray. The Bible let us know that man shall always pray and not to faint. Don't give up, but remain. And then the Word of God says to study, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman of God, need not be ashamed to write and divide the word of truth. We need to know truth. Jesus Christ is true. His word is true. Just knowing the truth is good. But the truth is not going to cause you to be free if you don't apply it to your life. So if we just study the word of God, and not just studying it, but believing what we read. Because, you know, the more we read of God's word, the more closer we become his and become to know him. Do you know that I don't care what position that you may be in, you may have a doctorate degree, you may have a master's or a bachelor degree or social, whatever degree you may have, you may be the CEO of the company, you may be head administrator or director, but you need to know that you need Jesus Christ, just like Nicodemus in the book of John, and I believe that's the third chapter. When Nicodemus came to Jesus by night, Nicodemus was a ruler of the Jews, but yet he did not know how to be born again. And Jesus, because he humbled himself, he came to Jesus by night, and he knew that no man could do the miracles that Jesus did except God be with him. So therefore, when he came, Jesus was able to let him know how to be born again. And today, God wants you to know how you can be born again. You didn't have to enter into your mother's womb like Nicodemus thought that he had to be born again. God not asking you to enter again into your mother's womb, but he want you to accept him as Lord and as Savior in your life. He want you to be able to say yes to his will and yes to his way. The Bible let us know that we were all sinners saved by grace. It was the grace of God that saved us. It was the grace of God that delivered us. It's the grace of God that made us free. So when we began to look at the word of God, when we began to look at God's word, it can let us know that we can be free through him. And it's not us but it will be the Christ that lives within. Nicodemus, he's seen within himself that the things that Jesus did, it wasn't out of the ordinary, but it was a difference to this man, the man of God, the man that the God, the creator that made the heaven and the earth. So he wanted to know about Jesus Christ. And I hope today that every believer and every person that's listening to me, whether you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that you will want to know more about Jesus. Because in the times that we're living in, we need to follow him. We need to know that Jesus Christ is our only hope of glory. We need to know that we can depend upon him. We need to know that if we be steadfast and immovable, we can always abound in him. So therefore, we're saying that you need to remain in him. And without the word of God, we can't remain unmovable. We need God, because when things come into our life, it will cause us to not to be grounded in the word of God if we don't know God. So therefore, I'm saying to you today that you need to have a relationship with God. When you go into a situation in your home, a situation with your coworkers, a situation out there with those associates and people that you know, you need Jesus Christ, that you can remain, holy, that you can be righteous, that you can use the word of God to help you, to strengthen you to be that man, to be that woman that God would have you to be that girl, to be that boy that God would have you to be. So I say to you this morning again that we need to remain in him. That's a part of abiding. That's a part of abiding in the vine. Abide means to wait, And while you're waiting, we have to remain. If you're going to wait on someone, you can't go from north, south, east, or west. You can't go in a different direction and with that person when you're waiting for God to come. Of course, he knows where you are. But I'm saying in your faith, in situations, decisions, and things that you do, that we can't just go off and do our own thing. And that's what it is, I believe, today, that all of us trying to do our own thing. We're not putting our confidence and our faith in God. We're not being steadfast. We're not remaining into him. But God wants us to submit. That's another thing that God wants us to do, to submit unto him. Submit everything. Submit our problems. Submit every situation. Submit every care. God says, cast all our cares upon him, because he careth for us. Submit it. Give it to him, just like you are submitting a requisition, submitting some of your resume and whatever it may be. You know, you're submitting those things, hoping those people are going to hire you or they're going to take notice of you. I have news for you today that God, when you submit yourself to him, God, he will do more than any executive, any CEO, administrator, any person that you may know. He can do exceedingly abundantly when we submit ourselves unto God, when we just give God, all I want is you. And then when I began to think about it, I thought about how Hannah and the word of God, how she, for many, many years, Hannah had wanted a child. She was barren. She could not bring forth. And the word of God tells us that the Lord had closed her womb. And because the Lord had closed her womb, she couldn't have any children. And it was God's perfect will for her to be barren. But when she began to go before the Most High God, And it's not that she wasn't praying, but sometimes we can pray and not totally surrender ourselves to him, not totally surrender the problem to him, then God can't really work in us and do for us those things that that we desire and he desires to do in us, because we have not submitted unto him. And when the time came, because we look at the word of God, we look at what happened to her in Samuel, in 1 Samuel, we see this woman of God that, she fretted. She went through stress, and because of the fact that she is something that she wanted so much. Now, it may not be a baby that you want. It may be that husband, a husband. It may be that job, whatever it may be, whatever, a new house, whatever it is. But God said, cast your care upon him. You can submit it unto him. You know, he has all power in his hand. The word of God says he's able to do exceeding, and I love saying that because it's so true. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Because I always think about, and many times I think about, you know, in the book of John again, how Lazarus in the 11th chapter of John, how he was sick, and how Mary and Martha, they called for Jesus, they sent for Jesus to come and to heal their brother. They knew if I called Jesus, that Jesus was going to come and Jesus was going to heal their brother. Jesus and his disciples was away, but they sent for him. But he didn't, the word of God let us know that he didn't come right then. Sometimes when we go through things, we want Jesus, come on, Jesus, come on right now. I need you to take care of this situation. I need you to cause this problem to go away. I need you to take care of it. Well, Jesus did not come. He did not come when Mary and Martha called him. He waited. And then he said that he was going to go, and he was going to wake Lazarus out of sleep. Well, when the disciples heard him that he was going to wake him out of sleep, they thought that Jesus was asleep, that Lazarus was sleeping, and they thought that Jesus meant that he was sleeping. And Jesus had to explain to him, no, he is not sleeping, because they were thinking if he was sleeping, he's doing well. He's not in pain. He's doing well. But Jesus had to explain to him that, no, Lazarus is dead. So we're going to wake him out of sleep. We're going to him now. I didn't go then, but we're going now. So therefore, when they did get there, and when Martha met Jesus, Martha said, Lord, if you would have been here, my brother, our brother Lazarus, your friend, would not have died. Jesus let him know that I'm the resurrection and I am the life. I'm able to raise Lazarus out of death, out of a state of death. And then when she had explained to him that I am the resurrection and life, you know, I'm able to bring him forth, you know, now. So when he seen Mary and the others, and they're weeping, and Jesus, after he had came, he had compassion. He wanted to know where had they laid Lazarus. And then Martha said, by now he's stinking. After all, you know, he's been dead 4 days. Was that news to Jesus that Lazarus had been dead 4 days? Was it news to Jesus that rigor mortis had taken place? Was it new to Jesus that the blood in his veins had stopped circulating? Was it new to Jesus that his lungs had stopped, that there was no respiration in his lungs and no blood circulating in his body? His heart had stopped. He could not hear anymore. He could not see anymore. He wasn't able to walk anymore in his present state. But God wants to show himself to them and to those that was around about him. That is the reason why he waited. That's why we have to wait sometimes. That's why we have to abide in him sometimes. And when he said to them to show him where they had laid Lazarus. Even Martha said, by now he stinketh. He been dead a long time. He been dead 4 days. But it didn't make any difference to Jesus because Jesus knew who he was. And the answer, the question is, do we know who Jesus is? Do we know the power? Do we not know that he is able to do all things? Do we not know that he has all power in his hand? So when he got to, when he had come to where Jesus was, he commanded Lazarus to come forth, to loose him and to let him go. And Lazarus came forth. He heard Jesus. His hearing came back. His heart began to beat again. Blood began to circulate again. He began to, was able to stand up. He was able to hear the command of the Lord. He knew the voice of Christ. Death had no hold over this man. So I'm saying to you, if you can just know God through his word, and just submit yourself to him and rely on him. Just be faithful to him. Have that confidence in him. It also, when we talk about abide and being able to wait on God, it means to stay. Stay in place. Many times we miss God because we don't stay in place. We miss God because we get hasty in our walk with him. We miss God because we try to take care of the matters ourselves. God says to stay. The word says to stay. Stay. Having that confidence, having that faith, having that blessed assurance in him. Stay in place. And it also means to continue. Continue. Continue the things that God has called us to do. Don't get weary in well-doing. Because sometimes when people get weary, they just stop everything they're doing. They'll stop praying. They'll stop fasting. They'll stop winning souls for the kingdom. They'll stop giving in tithes and offering. They'll just stop because, you know what? Their faith is not in the place where it should be. So God is telling us to continue in him. If ye abide in me and my word abide in us, that we can ask what we will and it shall be given unto us. All we need to do, abide in him. He said, without him, remember, without Jesus Christ, we can't do nothing. We're going nowhere without Christ. We will not make it without Christ. Nicodemus recognized that he was not going to make it. He knew that there was something different about this man. There was something, he wasn't an ordinary man. So he, as although he was a ruler, yet he knew and he recognized that he needed Jesus Christ in his life. And then it tells us to stay focused, to abide. When we abide in Christ, when we wait on him, as we wait on him, we need to stay focused. We don't need to be looking around and looking at other things and get us off track and get us off focus with God. We need to stay in God. We need to believe God. We need to stand on God's word. We need to know that what God says, he is able to perform. So therefore, if we can stay focused, in order to see Jesus, we need to stay focused. Remember with the prodigal son in the 15th chapter of St. Luke, when his sons, he had two sons, the father had given inheritance to the younger son because he wanted it, not that he felt it was time to give it to him, but he felt that the younger son, he wanted to go out and he wanted to see what the world was all about. So therefore, he wanted his inheritance from his father. And after he got out, after he went out, after he left his father's home, he began to have riotous living. He began to be with people that only were interested in what he had. And do you not know today that there are many people that they're not really interested in you? They're interested in what you have. If you don't have certain things in life, they don't really, really sometimes are not really interested in you. And so it was with the prodigal son. As he, when he had the money, he had many friends. When he didn't have any more money, his friends left him. And it got to, and it came to the state that he had to go and he had to even eat out of the hog pen. Oh my God. Be able to come from royalty, be able to have all of these things that he was accustomed to, servants in their home. But because he didn't stay focused, so because he didn't submit himself, so because he wasn't steadfast in his walk with Christ, because he wasn't patient, he didn't want to wait for his inheritance. He didn't want to wait until his father knew it was time for him to get what he needed and what was already guaranteed to him. So he, you know, sometimes we have to come to ourselves. Yes, we have made mistakes. And the prodigal son, he made mistakes. Yes, he did. But, you know, his father still loved him. And that is the same way with us, our Heavenly Father. Although we make mistakes in our lives, yet God still loves us and God still cares for us. And even as this young man, he came to himself and he said, my father, you know, he just began to think about all those things that his father had at home. And he said he was going to go home and he was just going to be a servant. I'll just serve my father. It would be much better than it is where I am. He didn't have anything left that he could see. He knew that the food that he ate was nothing like the food that he was eating right then at that hog pen. You know, even when we get in a hog pen situation, God is able to deliver us from that hog pen. When we're eating with the hogs, when our life has gone down drastically, but we have gone out on our own, and that's what he did. He went out on his own, and he decided he's going to do his own thing. But yet, when he decided to go back to his father was looking like, I believe that he looked when a son is missing, when a son has left home, and that father didn't give up on that son. But when he had gone out, when he had gone out this day and he seen his son coming, he was able to have joy on the inside. He wasn't thinking about, oh, this he done spent all my money and here he comes. He wasn't thinking about, you know, I'm gonna fix him, I'm gonna get him for what he did. He didn't pay attention to me, he didn't do all of this. So this father did not do this. He was so glad to see his son. He told them to bring a robe. He told them to put a ring on his finger because he knew that his son was home. His son had returned home. And it's the same way with us today. When we make mistakes, we miss the mark, when we sin against God, when we can ask God for our forgiveness, for his forgiveness, no matter what we have done, God will come in and God will make the difference. He'll show us even more how much he loves us and how much he cares. See, the enemy comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus Christ came that we can have life and that we can have life more abundantly. We're getting ready to go before the throne of grace. And I want you, if you're going through some tribulation or some things in your life, or you may not be saved, you may not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we want you to just stop what you're doing, and we want you to give reverence to the Most High God. And we want you to ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart, to forgive you for your sins. And when you do that, Christ is going to come in. Christ is going to make the difference in you. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, even as we have preached your word today, Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. God, we realize, God, that the word will not return void. And the word has gone out, Father God, to those, God, that you, Father God, have allowed it to go out to. And we ask thee, God, in the name of Jesus, even at this day, at this time, to call the people of God, to call the people that don't even know you, to come in line with your word, line by line, precept by precept. And God calls them, Father God, to wait on you. Lord, calls them, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that they know to know that you are a loving God. And that God, that you, Father God, stand with open out arms to them, even when they have known you, when they are backslided. Because you said that you're married to the backslider. So, Father, ask thee in the name of Jesus, those God that are recommitting themselves to you, ask thee, Lord God, to forgive them for their sins, to come into their heart, save them, deliver them, and make them free. For the word of God said, whom the Son has made free is free indeed. Would you please repeat after me? Father, forgive me for my sins, come into my heart, save me, deliver me, make me free. God caused me to be that new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things pass away, all things become new. And Lord, I thank you, Lord God, for Lord God, in the name of Jesus, for forgiving me for my sins and my transgressions. And Lord, I thank you, God, for all those that repeated that prayer with me, God, today, God, that every sin would be cast into the sea of forgiveness and remembered no more, that they are new creatures in Christ today. And Father, I ask you, God, to cover them under your blood, to keep them, Father, focused. Cause them to wait on you. Cause them, God, to not to yield. Cause them to have patience, Father God. Cause them to be more tolerant. Cause them, Father God, to be steadfast in thee. Oh, God, call them to submit, God, even now. Oh, God, you are God, and you are God all by yourself. And because you are God, cause them, God, to continue to stay in place and to stay focused upon thee. Father, bless those in our radio audience, those, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, that are going through situations in their lives. I know that this word today has been a blessing, God, to them. So, Lord God, that they can know that you are the living and you are the true and living God. And for this, we will bless your name. In Jesus' name we pray. And God, we thank thee. Amen and amen. Well, we thank all of you who joined us today on the broadcast. We thank God for the hour of power. And indeed, it is our of power that you can stand before God, that you can reconnect with him. And yes, it is called the hour of power. Many times we're on for only maybe 45 or 50 minutes, but it's in that hour you can receive the power from the Most High God. We want you to take the opportunity to tune in with us on this coming Friday at 9 a.m. Tell someone that the Hour of Power is on the air and will be on the air every Wednesday and Friday at 9 a.m. Until then, please feel free to join us and to pray that God richest blessings. We pray that the Lord richest blessings will be upon you until we meet again. This has been the Preacher of the Hour, Dr. Mary Smith McCoy.